And now, listeners of every kind, the voice...
I'm so sorry. Are we interrupting something? I'm sure it's nothing important. The sun is bright, the moon is irrelevant, and we are light and light and light and light. We're light. Listeners, this is Lauren Mallard, Vice President of Strex Corp, community supporter of the Night Vale and Desert Bluffs metropolitan area. I'm here with Kevin, who has been a radio host for Night Vale's sister city, Desert Bluffs, for how long has it been, Kevin?
I can't say.
Kevin, don't be modest. You are the voice of our community.
I literally am incapable of saying, Lauren.
Kevin and I are broadcasting from a secret location because of some recent changes to the town of Night Vale.
Strex Corp was in the process of bringing together the two cities, but there was some...
miscommunication.
Yes. Thank you, Lauren. You're so helpful with your words. Miscommunication. And now the little town of Night Vale is upset.
We tried to bring them endless, searing sunshine and delicious trans-dimensional orange juice and adorable furry pets with adorable gnashing teeth.
Oh, I love my Strex pet, Lauren. Oh, it is the cutest. I take it for walks. I throw sticks at it. I tell it my worst secrets. I feed it mice every night before bed.
They're not supposed to eat mice, Kevin.
I've trained it to. It took some weeks, but it is accepting its meals now. Lauren, did you know that in Night Vale, people are not even allowed to visit the public dog park?
Right. You know what? They cannot eat wheat or wheat byproducts.
Delicious wheat. Delicious byproducts.
Or have computers or writing utensils, and their community radio interns keep having accidents. Or in the case of that intern Dana, meeting her own double, one of them killing the other, and then the remaining one, not sure if it's her or her double, being trapped for over a year in a strange other desert world where she's been making trouble for us with an unruly pack of angels and dumb masked warriors. Ugh, it's a very beautiful but very unproductive town, not reaching its full productive potential.
My grandmother used to embroider pillows with the phrase, "Reach your full productive potential." I loved those pillows so much, she sold one to me.
That's sweet. That is a good story, Kevin. So, we at Strex Corp, not wanting our neighbors to flounder under the oppressive terror and darkness, brought bright yellow helicopters here to rid the town of all its terrible horrors. The weird shape in Grove Park that kills people if you look at it or talk about it. The hooded figures that infiltrate everyone's deepest fears and dreams. The vague yet menacing government agencies that record everyone's conversations. And the glowing cloud that drops dead animals, the rip in time that allowed dinosaurs to come through.
Pteranodons are not dinosaurs, Lauren. They are arachnids.
You are right.
No, you are right. It is hard to get work done in such a dystopia.
Right?
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 Right! And then they just allow that teenage girl, what was her name? Tamika. To start a militia.
Well, luckily she's in prison.
And then they bring these ugly scientists to study things that should not be studied.
Luckily, he's trapped in the same desert otherworld as intern Dana.
Lauren, I think maybe this is our fault.
How so, Kevin?
We loved Night Vale too much.
We cared for them more than they could understand.
We showed them sympathy beyond which they could receive.
Let's show them empathy.
Yes. Empathy.
Did you hear that, Night Vale? No more sympathy from Strex Corp. No more emotional symbiosis. We will give you empathy. We will give you the room to understand what you need. But what you need is sunshine and structure and jobs.
They don't want a handout. They want a hand around their neck. In a show of friendly solidarity. A strong pat on the neck.
Let us show you empathy in a handful of dust, Night Vale.
Just look at all this empathy.
Look at it.
Look at it every day.
Look at it forever. Okay, talk to you all again soon. Sorry for interrupting whatever this silly little thing is.
As I was saying, and now, listeners of every kind, the voice of Night Vale, Cecil Baldwin.
Think back. Look forward. Listen timelessly. Welcome to Night Vale. Hello, listeners. I speak to you now from the one spot in Night Vale that remains truly ours. The studios of the Night Vale Community Radio Station. I have learned well from my misunderstanding about how barricading a door works. And so I have, for 2 weeks, managed to keep this studio free of Strex Corp influences and employees. But enough of the preamble. Now to the amble. Today is the day. There is only one thing for today, and that is the destruction of the hated Strex Corp. And freeing our town of Night Vale. We will work no longer. We will worship a smiling god no longer. We have failed before. We have failed so many times at so many tasks. But at this, we will not fail. I hope. I mean, I really, really hope that we will not fail. In any case, we will be devoting all of today's broadcast to the revolution with no interruptions.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Cease speaking or I will cease your speaking for you. Easy there, Greenhead.
Listeners, I'm sorry. Mayoral candidate and literal five-headed dragon. Hiram McDaniels has just burst into the studio.
I am also here.
Did someone just speak?
Yes, it's me. The faceless old woman who secretly lives in your home.
Ah.
I am crouched in the crawl space under your studio right now. There are many interesting insects and pipes down here.
Well, it is great to have you both. But listen, there's this revolution
Cecil,
to do. And
far be it for me to get in the way of your revolution. I'm all for liberty.
The tree of liberty must be periodically watered with blood and mulched with detached limbs and pruned using shears made from bones. It's my favorite tree.
I hear you, purple head. Right on.
We are here because you are forgetting the most important thing that is happening today. Today is election day. Today is that day when finally Night Vale citizens will be able to affect change. Or not affect change, but they will be affected by it.
Sure. Well, there is also an election today. And we will certainly cover that as well, okay? But for now, please go stand in the alley behind City Hall and await the results, as is traditional.
Thanks, Cecil.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. We'll check back in with you soon. Mm-hmm. Yes, what my gold head said! Pitiful whelp of a man!
Let us go immediately to the news. Many citizens are reporting that old oak doors with brass knobs have been appearing all over town. The doors open onto a desert landscape quite like this one. Through these doors are arriving tall creatures with long faces and broad wings. These creatures are difficult to categorize. But the best I can do is definitely not angels. The not at all angelic creatures are joined by enormous men and women wearing masks. The not angels and the masked army have torn down the electric fences trapping the people at the StrexCorp company picnic. And this is great news. But unfortunately, the news is not over. StrexCorp has responded with a seemingly unending force of eyeless, blood-drenched office workers. Dressed in smart but affordable business casual clothing and armed with jagged knives and toothy smiles. They are backed by a swarm of yellow helicopters that have filled the sky and yet, strangely, have not blotted out the sun. In fact, the sun seems brighter than ever. Unnaturally bright, if a ball of highly compacted gas that sustains life through mere proximity could ever be called natural. The horrible, smiling office workers have driven the tall, winged creatures and the masked army back from the picnic. The Strex force is too much for even these rescuers from another world to handle. Whatever unspecified powers they have are, unspecifically, not enough. And they are, quite specifically, losing. They are fleeing. Some have fallen as the ravenous office workers swarm over them. The angels, or, you know, not angels, have entered the juvenile detention center looking for a certain little girl. No. A young woman. No. A human being. And her well-trained militia of other human beings. But the cell that once contained Tamika Flynn was empty. Instead, there were only shackles that had been pulled completely apart, and the words, "I am found." Written on a bookmark laying across page 210 of a paperback copy of Leonard Cohen's Book of Longing. The current whereabouts of Tamika Flynn are not known. The winged creatures, who are all named Erica, and the army of masked giants have continued their retreat before the onslaught of eyeless office workers all the way past the old town drawbridge. Listeners, given the urgency of today, I plan to skip some of our regular features as well as sponsored ads, but since forcing out our current ownership, we've gotten a bit behind on our bills. So there's now a sentient patch of haze in my studio.
Hello, Cecil. Hello, listeners. My name is Deb.
And Deb won't actually leave my studio until she has told us all about, what are you promoting?
Whole Foods.
Ah, right. So, even though we've got this whole big revolution to do, let's take a moment to listen to Deb, the sentient patch of haze, about,
Whole Foods.
Yes.
Thanks, Cecil. At Whole Foods, we don't have any rotting, decaying matter mixed into our products. There are no secret blood rooms in our stores, where we keep the secret blood. None of the boxes of cereal contain spiders, and if they did, they would be very friendly, helpful spiders. Why wouldn't you be lucky to find a spider like that in a box of Whole Foods cereal? Or not just one, hundreds of them. But anyway, you won't. Whole Foods serves only the freshest food, and we certainly do not keep venomous snakes under the fruit in our produce section. Why would we? That would be dangerous and not good for business. No one has died of a snake bite at Whole Foods. No one you know. True. Whole Foods. Why in the world would we poison our frozen dinners? We definitely do not do that.
Well, thanks, Deb.
Oh, no, thank you, Cecil. Good luck with whatever you got going on here. Seems uninteresting and human.
Oh, okay. Well, goodbye, Deb. Listeners, I apologize for these noises you might be getting. That there is some other radio signal. It's interfering with our own.
Cecil, hi, it's Lauren Mallard.
Sorry to interrupt.
Kevin and I just had to break into your signal. We wanted a moment to talk with you. Gently talking solves a lot of things.
Violent revolution has never solved anything.
I beg to differ. America was founded on a revolution. And I mean, sure, we still are ruled by the reptilians, but the lizard kings let us have our own country after they saw how hard we tried during that revolution thing.
That was decades ago, Cecil. Anyway, we want to know what we can do to keep your business. We here at StrexCorp Synercists, Inc. are dedicated to the betterment of life through branding, social networking, and upbeat music.
And hard work.
I'm pretty sure it's implied that hard work is part of it, Kevin.
I'm pretty sure I didn't ask for your feedback.
Oh. Cecil, StrexCorp values the effort you put into making this station what it was. Is. What it is. But when employees are refusing to participate in our trust exercises and boycotting our products and attacking us with our own helicopters, then I think we have failed our mission statement.
And what is your mission statement?
This.
We got so caught up in thinking about our business that we didn't think. We didn't think. Man, use our brains. We didn't think about the people. People matter at StrexCorp. They matter because of the business. Mm-hmm. We are here to set things right. First things first, we will rebuild the Night Vale Harbor and Waterfront Recreation Area and divert thousands of gallons of necessary drinking water from other towns to provide it with its namesake. We will also fill in the giant hole out back of the Ralphs.
But where will the people who huddle there go to huddle?
Oh, Cecil, you are simply resistant to change. Your revolution is cute. Community togetherness is adorable, but money is power. Mm. We will invest.
Are currently investing.
To make Night Vale a better place to live.
Thus increasing the resale value.
Also, we know everyone fears libraries in Night Vale, which is why Strex Corp will tear down the library, destroy the dangerous librarians, and replace it with Strex Books purchase centers.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare try talking about books.
Tamika, is that you?
Yes. I found their secret location using a radio triangulation technique I learned by reading an anthology of Emily Dickinson poems.
Lauren, be careful. She has a slingshot and a heavy-looking edition of John Osborne's successful play, Look Back in Anger.
Thank you, Kev, but I will happily deal with this myself. I just so happen to have my own slingshot and an extremely heavy edition of the Strex Employee Handbook.
Well, Lauren, you have this situation under control. I'm just gonna go and oversee important things elsewhere. Let me know when you take care of this child.
I love books. Take that book you're holding. It looks ill-written, ill-conceived, full of bad ideas expressed badly. I bet it lacks narrative arcs and an appreciation for the flow of language. It looks like the worst book in the history of books. But here's the thing, it's still a book, and I love books. So, you do not deserve to even hold it.
Then come and get it.
Tamika, stay alert.
Let me throw some ideas at you. Yes!
Tamika, are you hurt?
Cecil, Tamika won't be a problem for us any longer. Now, what were we talking about? Oh, right, money, success, it's just...
Tamika, can you hear me?
Well, drat. Hold on, Cecil, seems she's still up and about. This'll just take a second.
Lady, I've trained for months. I've taken down your helicopters with only a slingshot. I've looked at a librarian right in the area where most creatures would have eyes. You do not scare me.
Oh no. Oh no. Where did all these children come from?
It doesn't matter. What matters is that in a few moments, you will start running as fast as you can in the direction of Desert Bluffs. All right, book club, books as clubs, go!
No, no, may the smiling God show me mercy. No, no, I give up, ow, I'm going!
Well done, young Ms. Flynn.
I'm securing this frequency. We'll keep broadcasting instructions from here. Stay vigilant, Night Vale.
Thank you, Tamika. Listeners, Night Vale is coming alive. After weeks of the company picnic, the citizens are remembering who they are. They are members of a pseudo-democracy run by lizard kings through a Byzantine maze of puppet governments and paperwork. A crowd of those grinning StrexCorp drones surrounded one of the winged, not angels, who was wearing a hand-tailored suit coat, but was otherwise totally nude. But then, Leanne Hart, managing editor of the Night Vale Daily Journal, hacked her way through the crowd with a hatchet. I am imagining you all as news bloggers. You are destroying years of journalistic tradition. And then, at the urging of Sarah Sultan, the president of the Night Vale Community College, Leanne then threw Sarah at the few remaining Strex workers who were still intact. Sarah, who is a smooth, fist-sized river rock, hit her target magnificently before bouncing off somewhere. And so, this Erica, who looked both wealthy and mostly nude, was saved. Wait. I'm seeing a flickering, listeners, and this flickering is becoming a shape. And the shape is becoming a woman.
Hello, Cecil? It's me, Dana.
Dana, why haven't you returned to Night Vale?
I will soon, I think. But there is something here that has me worried. That rumbling is getting louder, and the light on the horizon is quite close. I can feel heat, but I am not warm. The more the heat grows, the colder I feel. It is a terrible light, and it is so close now. I feel as though the universe is unraveling. Plus, I found someone here in the desert.
Hi, Cecil. I am manifesting myself in your radio station for both personal and not personal reasons.
Carlos, oh, thank the imperfect heavens. I haven't seen you in weeks. I didn't know where you had gone.
So when I entered the house that does not exist, I found myself in this other desert world. But something happened to my team of scientists, and there was no one to let me back out. Then I couldn't even find the door. Eventually, your friend Dana found me.
Now, Carlos, why did you not call? Or Snapchat? Or reblog any of my wood carvings of Koshek? I worked really hard on those.
Cecil. How would I do that? I'm in the middle of a desert that is not of this world.
Oh.
There's no cell towers or Wi-Fi or any kind of communication system. Plus, I have to save my battery until I can find my way back to...
Oh, no, your phone totally works here.
Really?
Yeah. Also, I haven't charged my phone in like a year. The battery never ran down.
Oh.
Is that a Samsung?
No. No, same one you got.
Oh. Wow.
And the Wi-Fi is pretty decent, too. Just.
Oh, look at that, Cecil. I'm on your Tumblr right now. And I gotta say, the artwork is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, time is pretty messed up, so sometimes you reply to emails before they're even sent to you, but other than that...
Now, Carlos, how do I get you home? Dana, how do we get Carlos home? I would like Carlos to come home.
I'll be able to very soon. I am working on inventing something right now.
Cecil, every time the doors are open, it lets that terrible light into Night Vale. And the light is so close now, we can't risk it.
Right. You're very smart. Cecil, you have very smart interns.
I know.
So, I'm building a highly scientific device to keep the light away from the doors. Now, the device looks a lot like a big umbrella, okay? But it is way more complex and scientific than that for reasons I do not have time to explain right now. My danger meter is in the red. And scientifically speaking, red is the most dangerous color.
Carlos? Carlos, you're fading. Dana, where did Carlos go?
He's still here.
Dana, I can't see Cecil anymore.
He's still here. Carlos, thank you. I may get to see my mother and my brother again because of you. You are a hero.
I'm not a hero. I'm a scientist.
Well, then scientist will always be my word for hero.
What is he saying? I can't...
We should go. Tell Cecil we won't be long at all. The door should be safe to open now. I just need to finish stabilizing the device.
Cecil, we have work to do, but we will be home soon.
Okay, I cannot wait to see both of you.
Like an hour or two max.
Did he say something? Was it cute?
Goodbye, Cecil.
Okay. It is good to know we have such a talented former intern and a brilliant scientist working together. Once again, listeners, I'm also getting several frantic phone calls that have reminded me it is also Election Day. So let's check in at the alley behind City Hall. Hiram, faceless old woman.
Your revolution is meaningless! I will burn all detractors!
Yeah, Cecil, all of us are in agreement here. Me, my green head there, and them other three heads.
Sure, just lump us all together as the other three.
It's always just Gold talking away like he's the most important one, and sometimes Green yells something, green and gold, green and gold. Also, please call me Violet. You always say purple, but I prefer Violet.
Right, yeah. So also, my gray, blue, and violet heads there. Anyway, we all agree that once we become mayor, this whole revolution, well, it's just sort of moot. If Strex Corp is still here, and the people want them gone, we'll just, you know, throw some flames at the problem.
The real issue is getting these doors shut. There's a blinding light pouring from them, and it's causing the world to become translucent. We can hear a deep rumbling sound, which I do not like. The helicopters seem unaffected. I think a terrible thing is trying to come through. Something that's secrets I do not know. The unraveling of all things. Fire breathing will solve none of this.
Basically, the angels are, you know, the not angels. They just need to shut the doors when they're done going through them.
Yeah, what, were they born in a barn?
Well, according to religious texts, yes.
Yeah, I mean... Did you not know that? I mean, that's pretty standard.
Anyway, I agree with Hiram. A revolution and the unraveling of the universe is all fine, but it would be great if you could cover the election more comprehensively. We've worked really hard.
Yeah. Right.
All of us. Mm-hmm.
I will do my best. Or, well, actually, maybe not my best, but some level of effort. Well, thank you for the updates, both of you.
You got it.
Listeners, you heard the candidates. The doors are open, and there is a powerful rumbling below the earth, and a bright light turning everything translucent. Probably that's bad news. But, you know, weather is weird here, so who knows? Oh, this is fantastic. A couple of old friends just came by the studio.
Howdy, Cecil.
Listeners, it is John Peters, you know, the farmer. And intern Maureen? Is that you?
Yep, sure is.
Cecil, now Dana and your science fella, they helped us get out of that other desert place. I'm the one who found all those old oak doors, and Maureen here figured out that physically going back and forth between the two worlds was possible, but those two, they helped a bunch. Well,
great, great work, all of you. And, you know, I'm so glad to get to see all of my lost friends again.
Well, I just stopped by to tell you that we have seen the rumbling in the desert. We have heard the bright light entering Night Vale. Cecil, that light, it is the great glowing coils of the universe unwinding. It is the unraveling of all things. It is a smiling god of terrible power.
Now, how do you know all of this, John?
Well, I was in 4-H club in high school. I'm a farmer, you know.
Yes, I do.
You learn all this kind of stuff in 4-H. Seemed obvious.
No, of course. I mean, of course. Now, Maureen, it is so nice to see you again. I mean, it's been how long?
Listen to me, you monster.
Oh.
I got you coffee, and I made mimeographs, and I sang sea shanties to the ants every single day. I even copy-edited your Jaws slash fic, even though that wasn't in the job description. I did. And then one day, get me some orange juice, Maureen. I mean, I won't even tell you how it's making people blink in and out of existence. And not only did it make me blink out of reality, but you didn't even want it when I brought it. Do you even know the mortality rate of your internship program?
I'm not terribly sure what you mean.
Chad, Jerry, Leland, Rob, Brad, Stacy, Richard, Paolo, Dylan, Vidya, and Ziv. Do you know what they all have in common?
They all got great training for a future career in radio?
No, that's not it at all. They're...
Oh, excuse me. Speaking of interns... Intern Jeremy had a recent run-in with the scorpions in the break room. And will be missed. Oh, hey, now that you're back home, are you still looking for college credit?
Yeah.
Oh. Great. Can you start today?
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Thank you for stopping by, John.
Oh, sure thing, Cecil. Beware the unraveling of all things and support your local farmers.
Yes. And Maureen, can you just pop down to the library and do some research on smiling gods for me?
Fine.
Great. Listeners, if John and Maureen are back, then that must mean that the doors are working again, and this is fantastic news. I am now receiving reports that the rumbling is growing louder, and people are saying that they can feel it in their feet and in their teeth, and they are becoming forgetful, and objects are becoming transparent. The darkness of Night Vale is washing away. And what are we, Night Vale, without darkness, without shadows, and without secrets? Listeners, there is someone knocking on my station door, which must mean Carlos. Carlos, is that you?
End of part A.
From the creators of Welcome to Night Vale, Alice Isn't Dead, and Within the Wires comes a new Audible original. Unlicensed. In the outskirts of Los Angeles, where the cul-de-sacs and strip malls sprawl into the desert, two unlicensed private investigators scrape by on whatever small cases come their way. But when a teenage girl pleads for them to take the strangest case of their career, this unlikely pair, with no resources and no backup, will follow a trail of seemingly unconnected cases, which will lead them to a ransom, a murder, a mysterious wellness center, and a conspiracy that might go all the way to the governor.
It's important to catch small fires early. They don't stay small for long.
Unlicensed. Available now at audible.com/unlicensed.